And I got a couple of messages on a similar theme, but this was the one the Lord really put on my heart through the different events that have been going on here. And I know for a lot of us, great disappointments. And day after day, the news is always bleak and dismal. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this subject. We'll get here in a moment. Isaiah chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain, no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, and wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol, the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. God, I pray that we take these things to heart. Father, we know that all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. God, we just pray that we would learn. Our eyes would be open. God, we pray that you'd guide us, direct us. If there's one here today that has never truly been born again, may you show them their need this morning of salvation. May you touch their heart. May you reveal to them through that still small voice that thou art the man, thou art the woman, thou art the young person that needs to be born again today. Father, we ask you to help us, God, guide us and to direct us. We thank you for those that have come. Lord, we pray that you'd be with those that wanted to be here and could not. And we pray that you'd convict those that should have been here and are not. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, God here likens his nation of Israel to a vineyard. And he states that he fenced it. That would be protection. He talked about gathering the stones and things out of it. That would speak of purging or cleansing it. And then he talks about planting it with the choicest vine. That means he got the best seed that he could. However, when it should have brought forth desirable fruit, He finds wild fruit that is not profitable. Now I want you to understand something. God wants you to be productive in your life. That's his plan. When he saved you, the Bible says that he's going to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is a plan that God has for your life. He will start that the moment you get saved. And you know what he's going to have to do some purging. You're going to have to get rid of those things that are holding you back from being as productive as you should be. He's going to have to do some cleansing. He's going to have to work. And then what he's looking for is fruit. He's looking for something to happen. Jesus talked about being the vine and you're the branches and abiding in him. And he said, "Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit." He's looking for that fruit. Now, when the question comes here, when he asks, what more could I have done? When he makes that statement, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done? Was God the one that was lacking? Was God not doing his part? Of course not. God had done everything that he could to help them. And what follows is a decision by God to take away his protection of the nation of Israel. You know, when you think about taking the hedge away, you can't help but think about Job. And you know what Job is? Job is a picture of the Jew in the tribulation. 42 chapters in Job. That's 3.5 years. Think about that, 42 months. And you look at how that thing goes, and it's misery. The devil wants to attack him because the Lord said, "Look at my servant Job, and he's faithful," and that. And he said, "Well, you put a hedge about him. You let me at him, and we'll see. He'll curse you to your face." So that taking that hedge down is that thing. And I always beg God, keep the hedge up. I don't want to have to face the devil's attack. I just want the mercy and grace of God in my life. And Lord, if you could just keep the hedge in place, please. Thank you. And you look at that thing. And I believe what we see here is him breaking down that wall, allowing it to be trampled underfoot, basically saying, "I'm stepping back now. And you're going to get what you got coming." And I believe that as a warning to all nations there. And I believe that we got to be very careful about our country because we are probably at this point, like Israel, a cursed nation. Now, I don't say that with joy. I love my country. I'm one of those people who gets teary-eyed when we pledge to the flag and sing the national anthem. Or, "I'm proud to be an American." You hear that song? Man, that does something inside of me. And I love our nation. But I am not so foolish to believe that our nation has not thumbed its nose at God. And we have to look at that. You know, our forefathers, they came to this country under God's protection. Columbus sailed the blue and went in 1492, for you kids that are in public school. And he came to this country, discovered America. That was a rough time in history. England finally had defeated the Spanish Armada. It wasn't long after that. That was like 1588. Around 1604, King James of England commissioned his men, these scholars, to produce this book, the King James Bible, 1611. When that came out, do you realize that there was a persecution going on in Europe by the Roman Catholic Church because they were trying to stop the spread of Christianity? And now here England produces a book in the language of the people and puts it out there. It was in their minds heresy. They were trying to stop it. They were being oppressive. And many people decided, "We're getting on one of those ships and heading over there." And boy, in 1620, the Mayflower hit shore. over in America. And you look at that thing and you go, what happened? Well, these people were intent on getting things right and keeping it right. Later on, they ended up producing the Declaration of Independence, declaring men to be free, God-given rights. The Constitution came later on, the Bill of Rights. They put forth missionary endeavors to reach people around the globe. America has been a beacon of righteousness for a long, long time. Massive revivals were sparked. Went around when that King James Bible came out. Men went traveling, missionaries of great time. You've read books of them. You've read books about evangelists going in, whole communities shutting down, closing down the bars and everything in the town. Why? Because God was moving on a nation that put Him first, founded their nation upon the Word of God. However, I believe all the warning signs that we see in our text here this morning are coming, have come, and they've caused this nation to get farther and farther away from God. And God's looking for fruit, but what is He finding? Unprofitable fruit. So we'll look at some things here. There's six woes recorded in this chapter. And a woe is means grief, sorrow, misery, a great calamity. Notice, first of all, in verse 8, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. The first thing we see is a lack of privacy. Woe unto them that join house to house. No place to be alone. It keeps you occupied. Your mind is always busy. You cannot be still and know that I am God in the hustle and bustle of the city life that many live in. The psalmist said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You don't find a whole lot of that going on anymore. We are in the age now of cell phones. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got their face buried in it. Communication is slowly slipping away. They don't need to learn anything because they can go right here and they trust whatever that says to be true. It is a dangerous time. We are in a place where it's very hard to be alone. There's no quiet time with just you and God. Our government is beginning to confiscate our land through taxation. They are beginning to take control of it through regulation. There is a thing that's called Agenda 21 that's put out by the United Nations. What did they want to do? They want to drive people out of the country into the city. Why do they want them there? Because they want them relying upon the government. They will get them there by raising the price of gasoline so you can't commute back and forth to work and can't afford it anymore. And so pretty soon you're going, well, we need to move closer in. Even right now, the faggot there that Biden put in there, whatever his name is, Buttigieg, whatever, yeah. You know what his plan is? Well, we don't do a gasoline tax anymore. We start taxing their mileage, how far you're driving. Oh, well, how are they going to know? They're going to track your vehicle. They're going to know how far you drive, where you're going, what you're doing, and then you'll get a tax bill. And you say, well, they wouldn't do that. Yes, they would. And you say, why? To push you into the city. Government housing, mass transportation. You get to bus you or ride a subway somewhere. You know, you look at that type of thing, they're going to take over and push you out. Even people moving here from out of state with lots of money, what do? They move into some gated community. They're already locked behind a fence. They're already paying outrageous taxes. They're already in a place where they, if they get their cars get banned and they can't go, they just get on a bus, call a taxi, do something, public transportation. This is what's going to happen. Do you notice that there's in all of these subdivisions and things like that they have, they don't want you to put any signs up? You can get fined for leaving your trash can out too long in your driveway. We don't want you putting any scripture out in your yard. My wife and I lived in a place one time. We were renting a house, and we had our scripture sign in our front yard, and somebody came by and gave us the contract for the homeowners association that said no signs could be placed in your front yard. Said, what did you do? Left my sign right there. He stole it. What did you do? Put another one up. And the wicked shall be turned into hell. You know, put that one up. That one didn't go down so fast. You know? But you say, why you say that? Well, that's what they're trying to do right now. Your speech is being banned. Nothing that they do not approve of can you say without them taking it away. I just read an article today where all the major newspapers are now thinking that they have the right to go back and edit past issues. How many of you have ever read 1984? That was one of the things he said they did. That was his job. He worked in the department where if the government made a statement that conflicted with something that was back here, they went back and dug up the old newspaper and fixed it so the government was right. That was his job. And you look at this stuff, you go, well, that'll never happen. Let me ask you, how many farmers are shutting down? Lots of them. You say, why? They end up selling their land. Why? For big development. You know, we've got families here in Chino Valley and Prescott and area. They've made millions selling off the family ranches for highway development. Oh, and then you keep the frontage property because then you can sell that to businesses, commercial development. And you look at that thing. What happened to the farms? Here in this passage, he says there 10 acres would give one bath. 10 acres. And you think of that. A bath is about 7 gallons. So all of that the vineyard, acres and acres of it, that's all they'd get. That wasn't enough to pay for it. Wasn't enough to take care of it. He talks about an omer. Oh, basically, it gets 10 ephahs. What it is a production that is cut about 90%. Based upon what you put in. And you see this thing here? Boy, they build house to house. They let this thing go. Do you know who built the first city in the Bible? Cain. After he slew his brother Abel, he went and built a city. Oh, well, cities must be good then. what was the tower that God brought down? Why? Because they were all speaking in one language, they were all congregating in one place, and this is what they begin to do. They say, we'll just build our own way to heaven. We don't need you, God. And the Lord scattered them, confounded their languages. So you see that first thing there? A lack of privacy. Look at verse 11, the second woe. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and the pipe, and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. This is a nation that loved to party. They had no privacy. A lack of privacy, and I'm talking about Israel here, but you get the idea, you see the picture, you see where it falls in. You look at this thing, they loved the party. They rose up early in the morning, not to go to work, not to look for work, Nope, they were going to get drunk. They were going to party. It was party, party, party time. And you know, when you think about it, America has turned into a partying nation. And people just want to party. They want to have a good time. Mark and I were in a church yesterday down in Phoenix for a Republican meeting. We were walking down one set of stairs. And as we went down that one step from the upper balcony area, we came down the set of stairs and come down and landing and then down back down. And they had an elevator right next to it for people that didn't want to walk stairs. And I said, Mark, I said, what do you think this one little section right here costs? A couple hundred thousand? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was just one of many. The place was absolutely huge. You know what we never saw in there anywhere? Scripture, Christian symbolism, anything.
You have to mention it was a church.
Yeah, it's a church.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called Dream City Church. We pulled up, we parked, we looked, we walked inside. The whole backdrop, and I sent my wife a picture of the stage, was like a big LCD TV type thing. I mean, it just huge. It had big screens over here, big screens over there, and colored lights, cameras on extending pods that zoomed out, came in close on. I mean, it looked like a production theater. But we never saw any scripture on the walls. We never heard a Christian song over the sound system, not even a comm one, or you know, just an instrumental. Nothing. Nothing. We were in the upper balcony. We were over here. We were down there. We used one of about 37 bathrooms. And that was just one building. When we got there, that we started walking in the front of the building. Go, oh, no, you need to go down there for credentials and way down there. And they said, just wait here. They'll bring a golf cart and you can ride down. So we got to go down to that building to sign in and then ride back. Well, we decided to walk back up through. Place is absolutely huge, multi-millions and millions of dollars. And you look at that thing, and you go, okay, so what does that do? It shows you that most of those people, they want to go and party. At church, what do we hear? Celebrate, celebrate, party, party. But where is the growth? Where is the conviction? Where is the Word of God? What are they feeding on? And I understand. You know, I say, well, we're trying to reach these people. We're trying to reach these people. What are you reaching them with? If you turn off the music, will your congregation go home? If you turn off the fuzzy lights and all that, will they go home? Notice what it said. They loved the party, but they had no regard for the Lord. No regard for the Lord. I look at that stuff. I think, why are we here? America's turned into a partying nation. They want the music and the booze and all of that's right there. They got the harp, the viol, the tabaret, and the wine all in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. This is the nation we live in. Back in the 60s, which you know I kind of grew up in, they had a thing called sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That was the theme. That's it. Whatever that is, that's where we're going, and that's where they went. We've had America just kind of going downhill for years and years and years. When Bill Clinton was in office at his inauguration party, he had a professing witch, Stevie Nicks, sing for him. She's a professing witch. She admits it, and he's in there. When Obama had his party, he had a bunch of vulgar rappers in there. Remember that? Who did Biden have? Lady Gaga. You know, gag, gag. And you know, you look at that thing, and then when you watch all the Trump rallies, what did you hear? I'm proud to be an American. You know, and you're going, okay, so what's the difference here? You don't see it? Where is it? No regard for the Lord. They've been out in the devil's drink. They've been out with the devil's dance. They've been out doing the devil's deeds, and then they despise God and his word. They got no time for church, too hungover. Listen, folks, I used to live this life all the way up to 27 years of age. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just ragging on somebody else. The Lord delivered me from this, and He'll deliver them if they'll turn. Notice verse 18. Verse 18, of course you can kind of browse down through 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity. Why? They have no knowledge. They don't know anything. You know, people today, I'm amazed at how little they know about history, about our Constitution, about their rights. They know nothing. Nothing. And you go, okay, what do they know about the Word of God? Zero. Even people that go to church, you ask them, well, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? Huh? Well, what, you know, what you got any verses memorized? What? It don't mean anything. And what did the Lord say? If a man love me, he will keep my words. They don't have them. And I'm sad to say our country is in bad, bad shape. Notice as you come down through there, verse 14, therefore hell hath enlarged yourself. How many people do you think are really going to heaven? How many people have you run into lately that come up to you and say, you know, I'm a Christian and you need to be born again? How many of them have you handed a tract to and they look at it like it's something foreign and strange? They have no idea what it is. And you think they're all going to go to heaven? No, hell's getting bigger all the time. You got verse 15, it said, the mean man shall be brought down. Now, the mean man in this case is not somebody that's mean, nasty. The idea is he's just an ordinary man, not of high esteem or station. He's going to be brought down. He's going down. The working class, what do they call that? You know, people like you and me? Yeah, okay. And then the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. The Lord's going to bring them all down. And then you come on down through a little bit farther down through there. And verse 18 is where we want to pick up next. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were a cart rope. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. It's interesting that they laugh and provoke God. They pull sin to themselves, like with a cart rope, with the cords of vanity, if you will. And it's like they send that thing out, lasso it, pull it on into themselves. And you look at that thing. We see today that Christians are involved in all kinds of bad stuff. And our nation especially is in bad shape. Adultery, fornication, bouncing all over the place. People are just, they don't even bother to get married anymore. No commitment, no devotion, no oath before God, nothing. And well, if this don't work out, I'll just have a few illegitimate kids, we get extra money from the government, and we'll move on to the next one. And that's how that thing goes. And you go, you don't think God's upset with that? What about our embracing of homosexuality? God destroyed cities because of that. And we're going, oh, well, it's different now. No, you're different. It's not God that's different. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And sin is sin. It's been sin. It's still sin. Right. And you look at that thing. They flaunt this stuff in front of God. They have those gay pride parades, they call it. And they're so filthy and vile, they won't even show them on TV. You get a little glimpse of a banner somewhere. But if you were to actually see what they're dressed like, what they're doing, you'd vomit. That's how disgusting and filthy it is. And America says, oh, but they're normal. Really? We got this stuff going on now where pornography is protected by the government and our children are being snatched off the streets day after day. You don't think that God's unhappy with a nation that allows that? He sure is. And you know, they had a big rally back in 2010, America turning back to God. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. Here we are, 11 years later. Does anybody think a national-wide revival has happened? We're closer to God now than we were. Churches across this nation are decimated. You had talked to pastor after pastor after pastor. Well, we were running 60, 70, now we're down to 20. What happened? What happened? Watching this stuff, abortion, been murdering babies, murdering children, killing them, you know, dismembering them, selling the body parts, all government funded, using your money to do it. And we're going, okay, well, God bless America. I'd love to, but, and then we wonder, why is the Lord not doing something? Why isn't he not doing something? Never stop to think it might be because of our nation and what we're doing? Provoking him to anger? Laughing and mocking? How about verse 20? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If you don't think we're living in that day, you're blind. What is wrong with stating the truth nowadays? Truth has become the new hate speech. We don't like what you said, so we're going to ban it. We're going to snatch that post down. You can't say that. Take that scripture sign off your car. Don't you dare go in there and sing your songs. You put masks on. You stay 6 feet apart. You get outside. You don't, can't come in. You got to have services outside. Wouldn't it be wonderful today to be out there, huh? And you say, what's going on? Our nation is turning its back on God, and God is noticing, and God's saying, you know what? I'm going to pull the hedge away. That protection that I once blessed this nation with, greatest nation on earth, God-fearing nation, people having liberty and justice for all. And now we're seeing perverted judgment. We're seeing people commit crimes, and we know they committed them. They confessed to lying to Congress and destroying classified information and plotting and, and how I've extorted the Ukraine money to get something done, and a video of Biden doing that. And we look at all this stuff. Who goes to jail? Nobody. Nobody. And who do they accuse of doing wrong? You and me. What have we ever done? We wanted truth to be revealed. Accurate elections. We wanted America to come back to the greatness that God had bestowed upon it. But we are the enemy now. What we do is wrong now. You see how that perverted judgment comes in? See it over and over and over again. They call evil good and good evil. I worked, just to give you an idea how bad it is here in Arizona, I worked on the state resolutions committee. And people put forth resolutions as basically a way of making a declaration of either they're happy with something or they're upset about something that our elected officials are doing. In fact, Congress just recently censured Liz Cheney for stepping off of the Republican platform and going with the traitors against Trump like Romney and those other guys. All right? You look at that thing. So there was a resolution saying that we affirm our belief in two genders. Right? And so it's okay. God created the man and the woman, whereas, all these reasons. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we make a public declaration that we stand in the truth that God created two genders. And then it went on to say, and that marriage is between a man and a woman. Do you realize we had 9 people on that resolutions committee that argued against that? The marriage between the man and the woman. God ordained a marriage between one man, one woman. They didn't like that. Well, don't you think that would be divisive? Don't you think it would be? And they wanted to strike the language out of there. And they did. They voted to strike that language out before we could get it passed. But let me tell you how good God is. When they printed it to send out to every state committeeman and they put it in the call, the original wording was still in there because they hadn't updated and struck it. And so they still got to see exactly what it was supposed to say. And you look at that thing. But the fact that people would argue against that, What's wrong with stating what you believe? Well, we don't. Well, you might drive some people away. So I find out later on that one of those guys on there is one of these. Oh, what do they call them? Log cabin Republicans? Huh? Didn't we have a platform? Don't we have a qualification to be something? And you're looking at it, you're going, what's wrong? This is what's wrong. Where do we stand? Science, biology, DNA. You go through the whole list of true science, and there are two genders. That's it. So what's wrong with stating it? Oh, you can't speak the truth. That's hate. That's divisive. Amazing how perverted it is. That's getting worse and worse and worse. You know, Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Devil says, just sleep with them all. Don't worry, love somebody else's wife. You know, devil twists everything. What's good, he turns it around. You know, and you look at that thing, and you see that happening today. Boy, it used to be every family went to church in our country. Sunday was church day. In the community, if you were the person that stayed home, you were the oddball. People were wondering, I wonder what's going on with them. How come they're not in church? The whole community at one church, they just go all to church on Sunday. Sundays go to meeting. They had their go to meeting clothes. Put on their Sunday best. They'd go. They'd expect everybody to be there. And now it's, I'm too busy. I got this, I got that. I don't think it's that important. And I think we can, and then things go on. I tell you another thing you see in verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. They're lifted up with pride. People today, I've talked with people about things in the Bible and about, you know, something they should get in their life. And you go, well, I know the Bible says that, but I... Oh, okay, so you're more important than the Word of God. But I think... And then they start. And you're going, okay, so what if your thinking is not in line with God's thinking? Which one do you think should change? Well, I just think... And then they start again. And you go, okay, it's pretty obvious. You think you know more than God. Amazing. You know, we're filled with knowledge. I've been to the moon. We've built the atomic bomb. We can solve any problem now. We've got computers that can take apart DNA and the structures. And we can get down and we can understand this. But yet, you know, what does it produce? It produces people that say there is no God. There's no God. Scientists have decided that the universe is just evolved over billions of years, and it started from a Big Bang theory. Well, I know something about Big Bangs. You know, let me ask you something. You light a firecracker, put it inside something, and let it go. Do things get better? Do they come out in perfect order? I mean, you put all parts of an intricate watch inside of a box and you shake the box for, you know, a million years. Is it going to come out a nice Rolex or something? It's absurd. It is what the Bible says, the opposition of science, falsely so called. But they're so full of themselves. There is no God. We evolved. We just. How do you know that? Well, my teacher told me. Or I saw it on the History Channel. It's got National Geographic. They say it all the time. It's got to be true. I can look at my phone. And this is where we are. They have no regard for the truth of the Word of God. Everything, they know it all already. They don't need it. You know, the Bible tells us that God hates pride. And yet we live in the age of selfies. Here I am. See me? Let me post this on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat and everybody in the world will see me. And it's like crazy. People do it all the time. Well, here's my lover of the week. Bing, bing, bing. Uh-oh, and then 3 weeks later it's somebody else. Bing, bing, bing. You know, and okay, so what's going on? Lifted up with pride. full of pride. God hates pride. Hates it. I'm not even going to have you look at the verses. I'll just give them to you. Leviticus 26, 17 through 21. Psalm 10, 2 and 4. Verses 2 and 4, Proverbs 11, 2, Proverbs 13, 10, Proverbs 14, 3, Proverbs 16, 18, Proverbs 29, 23, Proverbs 6, 16, 6, 17. You want me to keep going? You think maybe you got the idea? God hates pride? Yeah. And then the last thing I want you to see is he says, woe here, not only to those that have perverted judgment, not only to those that are lifted up with pride, but to those who think they are powerful. Verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Watch this. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. We are living in a day where you can buy people off. They'll sooner or later, if you offer them enough money, they will do what you want them to do. They will forsake the principles, what they know are right, and they'll go the wrong way. How much is it worth? I used this illustration one time as I was chairman of the Republican Party here in Yavapai County. And I said, the problem that we have is that we have no elected officials that put principles first. I said, let me give you an example. Are your principles for sale? Say it was your wedding day, and you've just come up this aisle, and you've pledged your love to your bride, and you're starting to walk back out to church, and a guy comes up to you and says, look, I'll give you $50, you let me sleep with her tonight. I said, what are you going to do? You're going to punch him in the face and, knock him on the ground. I said, but what if he said $500,000? What if he said $5 million? And you're going to start thinking about it now? That means your principles are ultimately for sale. That's what it means. So what does it take? Hey, Judas, 30 pieces of silver. What do you think? 30 pieces of deal. Well, wait a minute, Judas. Didn't you later say you've betrayed the innocent blood? Yeah, but at that moment, man, 30 pieces of silver is a lot of money. And they justify the wicked for reward. And they oppress the righteous. We used to have judges that we could go to settle disputes, and they would hear the evidence for one side, then the other side, and then they would make a decision. But even today, judges are corrupted by money. Lots of money. They can be corrupted in a number of other ways. But you look at it and go, okay, how do you get justice today? How do you do it? I mean, if you got lots of money, like an O.J. Simpson, you got lots of money, like a Hillary Clinton, you got lots of money, like Bill Clinton, who is 26 or 7 times on Epstein's jet, pedophile island, no investigation, nothing happens. You see what I'm saying? We're living in a day where powerful men think they can get away with anything, and we are watching them get away with it. Amen. What's going to happen in a nation like that? Do you think God approves of perverting justice? The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. He's going to hold every single person accountable to his standards of justice and judgment. Nobody's going to buy him off. Imagine what he thinks when he sees those that are righteous being persecuted. You watch that thing time and time again. Imagine what God thinks when he looks down and he sees a nation prideful and just defiant. Imagine when he looks down and sees that they're not only perverting judgment, but they are also just pulling sin to him, like, and they're partying and they're just mocking him and laughing at him and have no regard for him. You know what that produces? A cursed nation. And that's what Israel here is here in this passage. They're cursed. God said, I'm pulling my protection away. I'm going to let you get trampled down. I'm going to let them just, whatever happens, happens. I'm going to step back. And now America, we keep turning our back on God, and we keep endorsing and accepting sinful practices, and we keep lifting up ourselves with pride, thinking we're okay, and we're all right, and we're, and God just says, well, I'm going to take that blanket of protection off of the good old USA. And now every day you're reading of another one of your liberties under attack, another one of your freedoms. You're reading about churches that are having to fight huge lawsuits just to have church when it's protected under the First Amendment. And you look at that thing and go, how can we be here? And the other question is, if we are here, and we no doubt are, then why should God protect us at all? Just let it go. Let it go. I'd say, well, what are we going to do about all that? Well, I would say this, and pretty much summarize it up real quick. You need to realize the importance of God's Word. This book is the one place you can get the truth. You can get in there and get the truth. You also need to realize the importance of God's ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You better learn what He wants, and you better start doing what He wants. You ought to recognize that we have a responsibility to God. I don't know about you. I learned a long, long time ago that laying out of church was not a good thing. It seemed like I always missed something good when I stayed home. And I think the Lord just put it in my heart, so I started going faithfully to church. I don't regret it. You know, and I'll tell you, honest folks, my wife and I enjoy being in church. Sometimes when we go on vacation, we go to some special meeting somewhere. And we like going. We like being there. We like being around God's people. And you know, we ought to take our responsibility serious to God. But how about our families? You got children, grandchildren in the public school system. Let me tell you this, and this is the God's honest truth. They are being indoctrinated day in, day out. They are being indoctrinated not in the ways of God, but completely contrary to God. They're being told they come from monkeys. They're being told all there is this life, and they die, and that's it, and they just go away. They're being told now in kindergarten that they can't know for sure what gender they are. They're being told that homosexuality and men marrying men and women marrying women is okay. And we're watching all of this stuff, and they're being taught socialism is good, capitalism is bad, you know, America's the problem. They're getting all this stuff. And Christians, they're learning to hate Christians. And you go, why? Because we're the narrow-minded bigots in their mind. We are the odd fringe. And your kids are being taught this in school. You better pay attention to what they're being told. You better read what their homework assignments are, what their books are saying. If they are on TV, on school online, you ought to be sitting in that room listening. Maybe off camera so the school doesn't ban you. Used to be parents were allowed to listen, but they don't want you to listen anymore. And you look at that thing. The other thing you ought to resolve in your heart to live righteously, right now, today, you ought to say today, from here on out, I'm doing right. I'm not going to do wrong anymore. I'm not going to tolerate wrong anymore. I'm going to be a person of principle, godly principles. And we ought to reach out with others with the gospel. What hope does this world have if it's not Jesus Christ? That's what they need. And so we got to get serious. We got to get serious with our Lord, serious with our Bibles, serious with our conduct, serious with our evangelistic outreach. Because I believe sands of time are sinking. And it's going down. But we ought to be found faithful when He comes. All right, let's pray. We're going to sing 388 too, so you can get a chance.